Co-Chair Reddick?
Present.
Chair Wolf? Director Banks? Director Dasson?
Present.
Director Sweeney?
Present.
Co-Chair Wisner?
Here.
I will take a motion to pursue.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted, are we on the air yet?
Oh,
there. Yes, we are now. I apologize.
All right. I will take a motion pursuant to Open Meetings Act Section 7A and Section 8 of the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority bylaws to allow Director Wisner to participate via phone.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, that motion passes. Welcome, Director.
Thank you.
There are no public comment that I'm aware of. So moving on, we'll move right into the chairman's comments. I'll take a motion for approval of the minutes of the Customer Service and Planning Committee meeting held on March 12, 2015.
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion, amendments, or changes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval as submitted signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, those are approved. I have nothing further, so we'll move right into the executive director's portion of the agenda.
Great, thank you very much. And I'm going to hand it over almost immediately. So we just have a couple of presentations that we wanted to do today. And as always, we hope for these to be fairly informal in nature so that we can have some discussion. We've already talked once about the Central Tri-State Corridor Planning Council and the study that we're going to be doing, we should say, on the Central Tri-State. As you may know, the Central Tri-State and reconstruction of the Central Tri-State, which is a real workhorse for the tollway system, carries a huge amount of traffic for us, is planned for the out years of the Move Illinois program, at least currently. So we thought now is the time to do a study, but also to put together a planning council of those communities that are impacted, communities and stakeholders impacted by the Central Tri-State, so that we can begin to get that feedback. You know, we continue to be very committed to an open and transparent process, and Rafa Zucchero and his team have been tremendous in all of their work for these various planning councils and public engagement that we have on all of the projects that we undertake, and the Central Tri-State won't be any different. So I'm going to hand it over to Rocco.
All right.
Go ahead and walk us through the presentation, and we're hoping to get, you know, feedback. If you think there's anything we're missing or that we should take into account, please let us know.
If it's okay, I'll just sit here and kind of walk through some of the work that we're going to be doing. So today, the agenda is, I'll give you an overview of this. As the director said, we did talk about the Central Tri-State project at a previous meeting, but I'll give you a brief overview of what we are planning on doing and why we plan on starting some of this work. Really, the focus of today will be talking about the Corridor Planning Council, give you some updates on some of the initial outreach that we've done, the mission of our council, some of the past council work that's been done, you know, really have a discussion about the membership, get some thoughts and input. We haven't established this yet. But we'd like to make sure there's some discussion and thought about who should be represented, given some of the issues, and talk about some of the next steps as far as the project goes. So really, as a reminder, the Central Tri-State project, it's a 22-mile project, 22-plus mile project, from 95th Street down in the Hickory Hills, Oak Forest area, all the way up to Balmoral Avenue near Rosemont. So it's an extended corridor right now. We've got the program in a Move Illinois program scheduled for about 2020 to 2022 time frame. And about $1.9 billion is allocated in the overall project. Likely in June, you'll start seeing some of the contracts for our designers and our master plan consultants coming on board. So we thought this would be a good time to have a discussion about some of the activities that we are going to start kicking off over the next several months. Again, briefly, the Central Tri-State, as the director said, again, it is a workhorse of the system. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We carry about anywhere between 120,000 to 185,000 vehicles a day on this section, so it is the one of the heaviest traveled segments of our entire tollway system. With the amount of travel that we have out there today, it's four lanes in each direction. We are at capacity through there. It is also one of the greatest levels of congestion that we see. This map that we have here, you can see all that red. This is the just one directional. This is the AM peak time
congestion maps that we see. You can see it's basically orange and red, which equals congested throughout basically the entire project corridor. The tri-state overall generates about 45% of all of our system-wide revenues, but this portion alone generates about 19% of the total revenue for the system. So a very small portion of our system generates a lot of the revenue for our system because it is so important for both commuter and freight traffic. We do have some of the highest volumes of freight and trucks that move across this section also. But it is one of the most congested sections that we have along the entire system. So there are some opportunities. What we're going to be doing as part of our master plan contracts, just let me explain what we're doing. Again, we've got a couple different contracts that will be coming to you, professional services contracts, likely in June. We've broken the corridor down into two distinct segments. There's a southern section from 95th Street up to 22nd, our Cermak Road, and then Cermak up to Balmoral. We're going to have two master plan consultants. Basically, what they're going to be doing is looking at the overall corridor concepts. One will be on the southern segment, one will be on the northern segment, and we'll take one of those consultants and have them really kind of oversee all the different contracts that would go on between. There are two additional contracts that we're going to be bringing to the board for the two major features on the project. One is the mile-long bridge. So there's going to be a separate contract for both planning and design work for the mile-long bridge, and then also the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Bridge will have another contractor. So the one master plan consultant will oversee all the contracts to make sure that it's fully coordinated amongst the entire 22-mile corridor. But some of the master plan work, what we will be looking at is a couple different options. The budget that we have is for a reconstruct, so basically taking the four lanes that we have out there today, breaking them all down, rebuilding, putting four lanes back in just as you see it today. That's going to be one of the options that we're going to look at. Given some of the issues and concerns that we have out there, congestion, traffic, revenue, we thought this would be an opportunity for us to really look at what that long-term vision might be and getting some assessments. So our master plan consultants will be looking at the opportunities for reconstruct and doing a wider median shoulder, similar to what we're doing in the shoulder anyway on the Interstate 90 corridor. Another option that they're going to look at would be the reconstruct and widen to a straight five-lane section through there. And then we look at the possibility of an ultimate cross-section or a much wider five lanes with a wide inside shoulder to see if we could use that as a managed lane. So what they'll be doing as far as the evaluation of that is looking at the cost of the different options, looking at the revenue, because each one of these alternatives would generate some different forms of revenue. Looking at the maintenance of traffic and what might be necessary during construction. So sometimes we find ourselves with the maintenance of traffic leads us to a particular solution, because what we like to do is keep four lanes of traffic or however many lanes of traffic that are out there today open during construction, so something might lead us to some benefits that way. Also looking at the right-of-way, doing anything through there, it's a very constrained corridor right now. You've got there's not much right-of-way. We already have four lanes. This is our first area that we're really working on that already has four lanes, so it's very constrained. You got noise walls, you got a lot of drainage problems out that way, so really looking at what the right-of-way needs would be, looking at stormwater storage on a broader basis, community impacts, congestion reduction opportunities, and other benefits that we would get on the project. So this is some of the stuff that the master plan consultants will be doing over the next couple years.
Rocco?
Yes?
I'm sorry to interrupt. In the discussion, or as you're evaluating this and looking at extending both with the onto the shoulder and with the potential fifth lane in each direction, is that through the entire 22-mile corridor, or are you breaking it down for portions, or kind of a hybrid of?
That's what we would look to find. Okay, there's it would be more likely a hybrid. Well, we look at all things, but we know there's certain areas of spot congestion, I guess, if you will. What are those operational problems that we have today? We know there's certain interchanges where the congestion points really come from. 95th Street is a problem interchange. I-290, I-88 is another area where we see a lot of congestion. So we would look at it as the overall core, but then maybe try to define, okay, if we did certain things in spot areas, more like you said, the hybrid scenario, what benefits would we get out of that? So it's really kind of getting the bigger picture. The master plan work really takes us to about the 30% or concept type level of what we may do out there. This is not the full design. We would take the master plan and then do the design based on those recommendations. So this work is really to kind of test all those different options as we go through it to see what, you know, how, if you play with the difference, which is what might provide what certain types of benefits.
And in most, primarily that would be in the orange, reddish area. We would anticipate that would be where we'd be looking.
Yes. Well, so I want to point. So the orange red, that's just an AM map. In the afternoon, it's the same map on the other side. So the orange reddish area is the entire project corridor. So yeah, that's where we would really look at those.
So if we were meeting in the afternoon, we'd see the other side of this?
We would see the other side of this, correct, exactly. People are happy going the southbound direction right now. Yeah, we'll look at the peaking, too.
So in this, your design, you've got about 30% of what you think you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
In that, have you looked at the Roosevelt Road exit, that ramp problem, and what would you do with the Oasis?
Those are all the things that we'd have to look at. There are certain constraints along the corridor. The Roosevelt Road is really the 290 interchange, I think, is what you're talking about through there. It's all
back up. Yeah,
that's true. That's the daily congestion. That's where the trucks wait in line, basically, to do a loop to get on the 290 or to get off of 290 onto 294. So those are things that we would look at as, at least lay out what those options might be. Each one of these things, as you can imagine, comes with a different cost. So that's what we do. So, okay, what are the options? What are the costs? And really what we try to do is figure out what we can do to prioritize any investments. There's $1.9 billion in the program, which is a sizable amount of funding. So what can we do with that amount of funding to really generate the most amount of benefit for everybody? Again, within these options, though, if you add capacity, through possibly a wider inside median, or a new lane, you do add some revenue. So that's what we also assess, is what are the broader impacts of decisions that we make. If traffic is flowing, you attract traffic to the system. So this is some of the stuff that we'll be doing really over the next couple of years. We'll be looking at the active traffic management. Again, similar to what we've done on I-90, we'll be assessing the transit. There's some transit demand out there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Freight and movement of trucks is a key thing for this corridor and for this region, so we want to make sure that's adequately considered. What are the needs of the commercial trucking industry? They've got some needs for parking. They've got congestion problems out there. We're doing some coordination maybe on some schedules and time frames. We've had some discussions about the off-peak pricing that we already have today, or I should say the overnight pricing. So are the things that we should be looking at within this corridor to really enhance some of the freight movements. But really with the two big features of the project, the mile-long bridge and the Burlington Northern, we know those are two projects that we have to address, and those are going to be kind of the driving factors of what we do through there. So what we want to do is figure out what that long-term, big-term vision is through there and make sure once we hit those bridges, the mile-long bridge, you're going to do a mile-long bridge, you're pretty much going to do it once in our time here, so let's figure out what that long-term optimal solution is.
Are the bridges portions a rebuild or a deck redecked, or are the the pillars are fine?
They're not funded for a complete rebuild right now. But that's something that we need to consider in this first phase here, and that's what we're trying to do. Is we're trying to get ahead of this project because it's not scheduled to be in construction until 2020. So we really want to get some solid information from our consultants and some solid recommendations, and like Rocco said, so that we can prioritize and make the best choices, because it's not an area, also like Rocco said, where you want to go in multiple times and keep adding another thing and another thing and screwing up the same major corridor on our system, that the same customers. So yes, we don't have it fully funded for
a complete rebuild on the bridge
of the mile long.
They've never been done, right, since the interchange. The last time it was a redeck as well, I think, with Elaine at it.
If we added a lane, I'm not positive we did a full redeck. I'd have to check on that.
But part of it, though, we'd have to do the bridge condition report to really see what the condition is out there.
I don't know if we had that already.
Well, so really what we're trying to do is figure out what that long-term plan and vision is for the corridor and see where, what we should do as far as building. So understanding what the long-term need is and make sure that we could optimize our investments to today doesn't necessarily mean we have to build everything out today. At least understanding what that future is going to look like, so we could at least plan for that on the key features, at least a mile long and the Burlington Northern bridges. Burlington Northern is a bridge over the tollway.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any shoulders through there. It's really, really tight. Think that, Oasis is the same type of thing. 66,000 vehicles a day when we first opened up on the entire system, and now we're talking, this section alone is 185,000, so the growth has been phenomenal through here. So that's really some of the opportunities. This is what we're going to be doing with the consultants along the corridor. This is some of their work.
But to do this, what we thought, to get going on the right foot, something that we do on all of our projects, we send out initial outreach letters to all the communities. We sent out a total of 74 letters to the communities, park districts, the different agencies, IGOTs, RTAs, to the utility companies, to the railroad companies. Basically, what we do with these initial outreach letters is identify what issues, concerns, and opportunities they have. If somebody has a local project, we should know about that right now because we can leverage their dollars, our dollars, and get things done now. So far to date, we've received 12 replies. The general topics of concerns, it's congestion along 294. The operations at 88, 290, not a surprise there. That's a daily thing that happens through there. 95th Street, there are some delays through there. We did hear from a couple communities. One in particular talked about commercial vehicle diversions onto local roads, not necessarily from the tollway. It's trucks that are avoiding the tollway because it's so congested using Mannheim or LaGrange Road. Because that just is an alternate route, and it's affecting some of the local communities, LaGrange in particular. Mannheim is their kind of their main street through there. So they're seeing a lot more trucks out there. Always have been seeing trucks out there just because they're avoiding the corridor because it's so congested today. So that was one thing that's come up. Traffic noise, that's always a constant on any of these larger projects where you've got communities built up next to us. Economic development opportunities. We have had some interest in some new interchanges and access. North Avenue at the north end of the project, 88th Street or Cork Avenue down at the south end near Justice. And so maybe some opportunities in between. There's some other new businesses coming into the Hinsdale area, so we have heard about some of these opportunities for economic development and growth. A lot of drainage and flooding, local flooding problems out in this area. That's been no surprise. Hillside and Elmhurst have a lot of flooding issues there. I know we've had concerns where the road was shut down several years back near 22nd Street.
The road was never shut down.
It was
at Cermak, but only semis could get through for a couple hours.
So it wasn't shut down. We lost some lanes a little bit.
We did make interim adjustments to this.
You're not sitting together.
Yeah.
We might be afterwards, right? Exactly. It's definitely an area where we're interested in improving.
Right.
The drainage.
Right. That was the major storm that went 4 years ago.
We've made some interim.
But it's a known area of flooding. Yes. And the concern is if you add more pavement or if you do anything through there, now where's this additional water going to go? So that's something that, you don't have much land to put this water in. So there's some acknowledgement there's local flooding issues out there, which might be an opportunity for us to look at more regional solutions on stormwater management storage. MWRD is out that way. You've got other water districts. So instead of looking at our little slice of the world, how can we work with the other partners out there? Commercial vehicle parking, that came from our freight strategic plan, our commercial vehicle strategic plan. We see that today. Trucks are just parked up wherever they can possibly park. And some maintenance and static issues. So anyway, with this information to help inform who we think may be good members for the Corridor Planning Council. So let me tell you what we do with some of the Corridor Planning Councils. Again, this is relatively typical for us. We would pull a planning council together to really help us come up with that broader vision, explore what kind of things we should be doing out there, looking really establishing what the guiding principles should be for us as we move forward. Access mobility, freight movements and accommodations, where should we be as far as economic development goes, what's the role of transit along the corridor? You've got a lot of lines that run across the tollway through there, not much. There are some big focal points at the UPS facility, Harvey down at the south end, and Rosemont, those are all kind of big to-from points from a transit perspective, so what's the role of transit along the entire corridor? Does it grow? Is it just what it is? Looking at sustainability and design, opportunities. We do have now a new sustainability policy, so we kind of get some vision as far as that goes, and stormwater management. So these would be the general topics that we would look for the council to talk about, or if they came up with some other things that mean something to them, we could bring that along as well. But the overall goal is to really kind of build some consensus among the key stakeholders about what we should be doing out there, because this is not going to be an easy project. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even if it is a reconstructing kind, it will be a challenge. But what are those opportunities and how we address those? So really kind of get that built some consensus on the recommendations that we would like to, what we'll see in the report.
Are we coordinating with the railroads, with UPS and those as well, to get some of their input?
Yes.
I've seen it peak time for UPS backups on 75th Street back up onto the tollway.
Yes, so we have already done some initial outreach with the railroads for sure, and this kind of maybe leads into who we think the membership might be on this corridor planning council. These are just some suggestions of who the agencies should be. You know, if we thought about the same ones, we'd obviously you'd have Department of Transportation, RTA, and PACE. I think those might make sense. We'd like to make sure that government agencies are involved in this. This corridor, the tri-state really runs along the border between Cook and DuPage County. It is the border road in a lot of areas.
So should we be considering more specifically the railroads? Represented? I mean, we've obviously got trucking and other, but,
yeah,
you know, that's
what
I think of.
We do bring in the railroads. That could make sense to bring. You know, we've got the freight advocacy community. I'll say this from where it says freight, that we've got the Illinois State Freight Advisory Council.
Which is the group with IDOT.
The state has responsibility to create a state freight plan. They've established, IDOT has created a state freight advisory council. And their freight advisory council is not just trucking, it's water, it's rail, suppliers and producers sit on there. UPS also sits on the freight advisory council. What I thought maybe a good idea is to have IDOT or the state freight advisory council appoint a representative to look at that. We could go directly to the railroads. I think that would be a good suggestion too. If there's maybe one key, I think we crossed, Clary, did you remember how many different railroads? Actually, I think it's four different railroads. BNSF, CN, we've got UP, and...
We will be having conversations at BNSF.
There's no doubt about it. So, that's good. So, we can bring in some rail representatives. And maybe it's BNSF or UP who are more of the active railroads. Maybe you can just bring them both in into the mix.
Rocco, we've talked about these groups, these mayoral groups or these municipal groups. We talked about the Southwest Conference of Mayors and DuPage Mayors and Managers. But in your presentation, you specifically identified two municipalities that have specific concerns related to stormwater. Would it be appropriate to reach out to them individually to also?
I just talked about those two. There's many others. Like I said, we've already received comments from 12 of them on the stormwater. So, again, this is why we want to have the discussion. So, thought what we've typically done in the past, we've gone to the councils of mayors. It's an organized group that for these areas there are, it's the North Central Council of Mayors, which represents basically, I'm going to say, North Lake to the north. There's the Central Council of Mayors, which represents, say, from North Lake to, I can't remember how far south.
That's on the east side. Those are Cook.
Those are the Cook ones. So that's two councils. There's the Southwest Council of Mayors, which represents basically that, you know, the southern third of the project, if you will. There's DuPage Mayors Managers Association, so that's four of them. And then we've got someone on the fringe. You've got the Northwest Council of Mayors, who is just north of Rosemont, and then you've got the South Suburban, which is really around where the 294-57 project is to the south. So really you've got about six different councils in the area, four of them that are directly affected by the project. So what we've typically done, we've gone to the council and said we would like you to appoint a member. We want typically what we like is a mayoral representative or somebody in with some decision-making ability through the council. What we could do on this one, given that there are four that are primarily affected, we could seek multiple representatives from those four, so there is opportunities for
multiple
appointments for those who are affected. Yeah, multiple communities to sit on such a council.
I'd like you to, I mean, I think it'd be wise to consider that because we've got a lot of municipalities that I think could be directly impacted here. And so, you know, the benefit of this process is engaging that and getting that input on the front end versus, you know, getting too far down the line on this.
So then maybe what we could do is establish it where those four, we'll look for them to at least appoint two people or have them appoint two people to the council. The goal, you know, the number that we're looking for is what seems to be successful is about the 25 to 30 range as far as membership goes. We've done this before with the I-90 corridor. We had about 25 on that one. With the Route 53 project, we've had about 30 on that particular project. Elgin O'Hare, about 25 to 30 on there, 27 to 28 in the different councils. So it seems to be a manageable number because what you really want is to make sure that people attend and participate in these meetings. You don't want empty seats. So maybe that's what we'll do for these four, is go specifically.
And I know we had talked about this before, but if you could just, you anticipate that this process will go about 6 months, is that right?
So the goal would be, and again, having done this before, we would meet pretty much monthly, starting in July. My goal would be after this meeting, once we get some direction on the membership, start sending membership letters out and have the appointment start to be made. I have that kickoff meeting in July, meet monthly from July for maybe the next 6 months. So by early 16, have it wrapped up. And really, it's an intense, we want to get together. All we want to do is paint that vision of what we really want this corridor to be. It's not like we just walk away from the council after this. We just want that broad level of input. Then we continue to work with all the local stakeholders in every single community. It's not like we shut anybody out. They're involved, but just at a different, more technical level is what we bring them in. So that's what we look at, 6 months, intensive process, give us the vision, and then what we would do after that is really hand it over to our consultants, say, okay, here's what you need to do, stick to this vision, and then we just move forward. We would come back to you, obviously, throughout the process and let you know kind of the general direction of where things are going or what the recommendations are.
I'm sorry, one other thing. DuPage River Salt Creek Work Group,
mm-hmm.
Was that a group that was included? Because I know we've worked with them on other projects. And that Salt Creek corridor runs right by the congested area that we're talking about at
yep.
the 88.
So we've been working with them for a while. So one of the other representatives that we thought I've got on here, where we talk about an environmental working group representative, on the what I didn't mention on the prior one is what I thought we would do is establish an environmental working group. The environmental issues out there are such that I thought it would be proper to at least make sure that there's a group of people, another 15, 20 or so different organizations, looking at all the environmental issues. It's the DuPage River Salt Creek Working Group. We've got other interests out there from the Nature Preserves Commission's Open Lands, maybe NRDC, who's worked with us on the Monarch project before. Bike and Pedestrian Task Force people that are out there. I mean, we do have bike and ped bridges that go over the corridor, their impacts. We hear about this all the time of considerations for bikes on the bridges that we go over. So there's some that, where bridges go over us, that's one thing, but then sometimes when we go over the bridges, making sure there's accommodation. So I thought that.
Okay.
My vision on that was to bring together an environmental working group, have Brian Wagner, our environmental policy program manager, pull that group together, but then have them appoint a person as a representative on the corridor planning council to make sure that their thoughts and visions are adequately accounted for. In the project, because there's so many environmental issues there, and flooding, and stormwater management was.
Is the flooding related to the 25th? Was that related to the Salt Creek area?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it wouldn't be wise then.
Right. And another member I thought that would be good for this, talking about flooding, there's when I talk about resource and planning agencies, MWRD, I thought they'd be good for the working group for sure, environmental working group, but then also put them on the council for a couple different reasons. They're going to be a vested stakeholder in the project because they own land along the corridor, which will likely
be
a permanent land.
Us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that they buy into what we're doing early on.
Well, they've also assumed recently the control over all the waterways,
mm-hmm.
creeks, everything.
Yes.
Where they didn't used to know.
Yeah, that's one of the new roles as of a few years ago. So it would be really good to have them on the council and the environmental working group, as well as the Forest Preserve. Forest Preserve District of Cook County, when the tollway was originally built, basically all we did, we connected all the forest preserves. If you look at a map, you can really see the tri-state really connects all these forest preserves, which was, a nice, pleasant drive back in the day. So now we've got a lot of Forest Preserve land next to us, which we've got to deal with them as well, too. And they've been a good partner with us recently. So we thought it would be good to have them on because they will have a vested interest in this, in both the environmental work and the broader vision as well. I don't know if you have any other thoughts about some of the other groups, advocacy and civic organizations. We thought we'd bring in some chambers, maybe some representatives from the different areas. from up to the, you know, there's O'Hare Chambers. We've got some from representing South Cook, DuPage. We thought maybe choose DuPage, who really oversees everything that's happening in DuPage, so maybe about four different chamber organizations. Kind of bringing it up. I don't know if that seems right. Or
it's going to be a large group.
Mm-hmm. The LaGrange Corridor Chambers, because they're impacted a lot by the spillover traffic, like you said. So it would be Countryside LaGrange. Well, that
I believe it's called the Central Cook, right? Something like that. The Central Cook Chamber. So, yeah, that would be a good one to bring on. And, again, I know there's a South Cook Choose DuPage. Again, is the broader DuPage, and, you know, maybe somebody from up the O'Hare area. Let's plug up that one. Couple other ones that we thought about from the zoning and policy side of things, MPC, Metropolitan Planning Council, they've worked with us on a lot of different projects. They've always been helpful with this, and they're very engaged at the regional level, so we thought we'd bring them on as well. And maybe even the Chamber of Commerce Infrastructure Council. Again, that's another group that's been engaged in a lot of regional discussions. I don't know if there's any thoughts about
those. The Illinois Chamber?
The Illinois Chamber. Yes.
Yeah,
that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, it's people who are involved in multiple committees, again, with Cook County, with the State Freight Advisory Council. So it's kind of nice to make sure that's representation. Obviously, the freight industry, we're at some of the railroads, but very important to have both the Illinois and Midwest Trucking Associations. We go to the State Freight Advisory Council and have them appoint a member. And again, UPS is on that, so maybe it's to have them serve as the representative. Or the Freight Advisory Council would be good. They're definitely vested interest in here. And then World Business Chicago. This is World Business Chicago has been around for a little bit now, but they've got a specific group called the Supply Chain Innovation Network of Chicago. Doug Whitley, former from the Illinois Chamber, has been heading this up. What they're really looking at is the supply chain aspects of movement of freight and logistics. They're looking at basically coordinating permitting between the multiple agencies, because right now, if you're a truck driver, you got to go to basically every single agency as you go through the corridor to get permits to drive through the corridor. The tollway and IDOT are now finally syncing up. So if you go to IDOT, they can permit the whole corridor, which has been it's a nice thing finally. It's been years in the works. But they're working on that. But sync is what they're called. It's also looking at the time of day, how to maybe get some of the logistics entities to maybe look at their scheduling of delivery. So we thought, you know, maybe bring them along. And Doug's been party to a couple of our other councils too, and he brings some value. So those are some we thought on freight, but we could add railroad. As you said, it's going to be a large group. But I think it's such an important corridor. It would be nice to get, you know, get some of the buy-in. And if there's anybody else or any other thoughts, other organizations.
I mean, it's pretty try to coordinate a little bit with O'Hare,
That is another thought on this one, too. And maybe it's not just O'Hare. This is the tri-state, which connects Midway and O'Hare, you know, because you've got a lot of the industry that is around Midway who uses, I would assume they use both 55 and the tri-state. So maybe we bring in somebody from City of Chicago, because there's some City of Chicago roads, or, you know, maybe the airport representative is a better representative. We've thought about, is it Chicago DOT or is it the airports? But I think the airports might be a better fit. That's good. Get a major freight player as well. So we could reach out to the Chicago Department of Aviation as well. So if there's no other thoughts or whatever, we could continue to take them. So my goal then would be, after this meeting, to start putting some of the invite letters together that would come out from the director and the chair to the organization heads. We would, let me tell you, some of the additional outreach opportunities that I was saying, Director Reddick, it's not just that we'd have this quarter planning council. We do have stakeholder and community meetings. So they just paint the vision. We'll continue to work with every single community an agency. In fact, we're going to have to deal with the railroads and work with the railroads, utility companies, so we'll deal with them on more of a technical level, different advocacy organizations and other chambers, just to make sure they know what's going on. Public meetings, we would do that. Speakers Bureau, let people know what's happening. But we would also have information on our Court of Planning Council on our website, which is pretty typical. So this isn't the only outreach opportunity, it's just one outreach opportunity. As far as the timeline goes, we'll be awarding the contracts likely, or at least bringing the contracts at the board, looks like in June, so look forward to those. That would be for the two master plan contracts and the two bridge design contracts. We would establish the Court of Planning Council in June, with likely the first meeting in July, so we'll also at that same point in time establish this environmental and sustainability working group. And there's the schedule. We'll be starting the initial meeting would be sometime this summer, once we get our consultants on board and our team all put together and the membership put together. Do monthly meetings, and like I said, we'll be looking for a final report with some recommendations to the board in late 15, early 16, likely early 16. And what we would be doing after that, again, handing that information over to our consultants, say, okay, this is the vision we want. Now go start working this into your overall master plans, and the master plan bridge design contracts will be completed by the 2016-17 time frame to allow us to be ready to start some of the design work for construction as soon as 2020. Some projects, advanced projects, may move up to coordinate with some.
Do we have any major utilities that follow this corridor? Water, Main,
ComEd, Natural Gas, ComEd, High Mass Towers along there, NICOR not as much as like on I-90 or the parallel.
Is DuPage Water Commission run a line through as well at some point?
Across.
I don't know.
Where's that cross at? Yes, right.
That cross is right at 294 near Butterfield, right?
Right.
And then undercourt, but then that's a single pipeline that comes
right
or comes west
that's
from there.
West.
Then
we have nothing going north south though, so we should go right. Nothing
running
that
head
up on
It's not like that Jawa line.
No.
But ComEd,
they were to say no. They're very happy.
ComEd's going to be a significant challenge.
I'd say the other major challenge we're going to have that is when you drive, when I mention it, you're going to realize it's billboards. Billboards are packed up along the entire corridor. No, they're off our right of way. But
to the extent they're impacted, they're a relocation.
That's a relocation. So that's always a challenge when we look, it's nice to think, we're going to do so much more, but you've got all these other circumstances that have to at least be factored in.
We've developed a healthy, heightened appreciation for all those elements. Billboards, utilities, right-of-way.
Water lines.
Yes.
Right-of-way, yeah, permits.
Railroads, they take a long time.
And so, Rocco, you're saying design in 2018, construction.
We would start design. So we complete our master plans at about the late 16-17 time frame.
Okay.
And then we would start our design work. Again, the master plan basically takes us to the 30% concept level. The designers, and we've got some design work that will happen with the bridge contracts in particular on these upcoming contracts, they take from the 30% all the way to contract plan readiness. So we would start that design work in probably that late 17 time frame. So you'll have about
So the cost estimates are based on then really the 30% idea? Not that would be the cost, but I mean, if we get turned around and you get hit with, you need to do a complete replacement of the mile-long bridge, that radically changes the...
It could. The program estimate was based on just reconstruction of the pavement in kind.